Today, as you and I search our heart, focusing on prophecy. Well, you see, the prophecy that God gives is the prophecy of truth. So anything that I see within the scripture, I know that it's truth. No such thing as fairy tales and the stories that Jesus tells. Well, that was just a story Jesus told. If it were just a story and wasn't truth, that would have been a lie, a fantasy. Nothing in Scripture is less than the truth of God and the love of God and the fact of your life and the fact of my life. Too often we allow fantasy to be interrupted, they say, with truth. You know, just will you leave me alone and just let me do what I want to do? It's not me that's bothering them. It's the Holy Spirit. It's called conviction. Now, interestingly enough, throughout Scripture, you will find in the Old Testament, and let me tell you this right now, what you're going to find in the Old Testament of what I'm getting ready to tell you is not the overall theme of the Bible. It is not the overall theme of the Bible, the most forceful theme of the Bible. But the prophets of old, as we call the Old Testament, 300 times at the least, prophesied Messiah is coming, and then telling, this is how you will know him. Know him. Not I heard about, I know about. Not he's something so far from me that I can't hear him. He is so close to you and me that we know him. So all of the Old Testament, about 300 times, the prophecy is given that the Messiah is coming and where he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea and all the truths that surround that. And all the smart scholars of Jesus' day searched back through the scriptures, they said, and they knew what God wanted them to do. But the strange part was they went against God's own son, even to the point that not one of them showed up for his birth. Over 300 times. Prophecy. Oh, we know what God wants. We have God's word. We are the prophet of God. And the prophets did proclaim the truth. And then came the teachers and the preachers. And so often we hear anything but the truth. Tell me something that'll make me feel good. Well, I can. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you will live with him throughout eternity in perfect peace. But you ain't gone yet. You're still here. And you're going to have to deal with life. The prophet said he's coming. He shows up in that manger. Foreigners come. See, foreigners are not foreign to God. They're only foreign to a certain culture of people who's meeting another culture. God knows his creation. Yet, that's not the central theme of all scripture. Let me tell you what the center theme is. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Now you listen to this fact And if you're teachers, you might want to write it down and remember it. In all of Scripture, Old and New Testament, the proclamation of the second coming of Christ is proclaimed 8 times more than the first coming. So 2,400 times the Scriptures tell us and prophesy about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You see, if you miss the first coming, you sure don't want to be missing the second one. When Christ came and the prophets said that he would, and when he did come, they said, but we have the voice of God and from God in our heart. Then why didn't you recognize God in the flesh? If you believe the Scriptures, and we call them holy, set apart for God's service, and you read them and you become such a great scholar, what good is head knowledge of the Word of God without that spiritual calling from God to know and understand such great love? I know the great love of God. So you understand it? No, I do not. I will continue to learn about the love of God when I leave planet Earth. Well, I'm going. The body's going to stay here. There'll be a marker up there, I'm sure. No telling what it'll say. But God says this to us. Listen to my voice, for I am the prophecy. See, the preachers are to proclaim and be the prophet. That's what a preaching is prophecy. We are called by God to be foretellers, going out, but quoting God, not ourselves. If you want to know whether or not an individual is of God or is not of God, listen to what they preach. If it is not biblically based, run quickly. But pay attention closely. The prophet of the day is also to be a fourth forceful preacher of the proclamation. We are to foretell. We are to do it with force. And we are to remind the people that the prophecy of God remains a prophecy of God, not a book for man to change. So God says, 2,500 times in the Bible that Jesus is coming back. Now you and I can look back on who didn't show up at the crib, who didn't show up at the birth. We look back and it's easy. What I just said, easy for me to say. Where were all those who said they believed the prophets of old when it came to Jesus being born? Where were they? The animals showed up. Guarantee you they were the first ones there. They were even there before Jesus showed up. And when I look back and I think, okay, the prophecy, Jesus has come. How shameful it was that the ones who were knowledgeable of the Word of God didn't pay any attention. That group, that generation only heard the prophecy about 300 times. You and I, in the Word of God, have heard it at least 2,400 times. 8 times more that Jesus is coming again. But when we said Jesus is coming again, do we truly believe? Or is it a story? I can tell you, folks, that I haven't the slightest idea what day will be my last sermon that I preach. I don't know that. But I do know that you and I have an obligation to the Holy Word of God. You and I have an obligation to push my self-desires, your self-desires, out of the way. For folks, God is saying His Son is coming back. How many churches are not going to be ready? Oh, it's a story. Our children love to hear the story at Christmas. Why don't they hear the story about the cross and the Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead? You see, Christmas is one side of the hand. Resurrection's the other. You say you believe in one. You don't believe that Jesus died for your sins? The prophet said it would happen. You and I have been blessed above all generations. We are living in a generation today that has God's Word, the Holy Bible, telling us that Christ has come and lives within us. And our love duty to Jesus is to go tell the world about the Christ child. I will not get in an argument with the world about Jesus. They don't know any better. It's not the world that's pulling the church under. It's the church designed to sink. Just about every Sunday anymore, I give a warning and remind folk that 7,000 churches close their doors every year. 7,000. Multitudes upon multitudes of pastors are leaving the pulpit, going into secular jobs. You see, a call by God is not a call for your mind. A call from God is a call for your heart, for your body. Would you tell me, preacher, I'll be with you in spirits. Folks, I've been in this church for so long, I can tell you there's really too many haints floating around in here right now. I don't want your spirit. It's your body that God has given. He's got your spirit. You belong to Him, but God said, I want you to take that vehicle, your body, and I want you to show the world who I am. Prophesy. How will I prophesy? Quote a scripture. That is prophecy. Quote a scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, you know, whoever will. The whosoever is you and me, always. I'm one of them, you're one of them. My salvation is based on Christ in me, not on me in Christ. I know that as a human being, I am a sinner. But in God's eyes, I'm a brother to Jesus Christ. In God's eyes, God says, I look to your heart. But allow your heart to take your body where I want it, and allow me to proclaim my word through your mouth, not yours, through your brain. I want you to listen with your spirit and proclaim with your spirit, for it is by the power of my spirit that I even allow you to proclaim my word and my truth. Merry Christmas, Christians. But will we be ready when Jesus comes again? I do not know of the day, and nor does anyone else. Only the Father in heaven knows. But He did tell us, Jesus, before He left, pay attention. For in those days, men will be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. In those days, they will heap to themselves preachers who will tickle their ears, and the truth again will be hidden. The truth can only be hidden when the individual that God is speaking to refuses to listen to God. Don't you tell me all hell can't keep God out of me. But God gave me that freedom of choice that I don't understand at all for Him to remain sovereign. You and I will understand it one day, but never all of it. There will never be a time in your extended life or now to where you will know all that God knows. He remains God. You and I do not become little underling gods. We are family, born into the family of peace and love. And yet Jesus comes to earth, and as He's proclaiming His truth in His ministry when He started preaching, the warning went out loud and clear. Your preaching is like the sepulchers. It's like a graveyard where you paint it with whitewash and it washes over. Tell them about that, Paul. Tell them about that, Paul. And all of God's men and women spoke the truth of God. But the heart of man, he says, will grow hard. And he also warns there will be a time when they beg to hear from me. They will travel to and fro, but there'll be no one to tell them. I will not dwell. I will not strive with the heart of man forever. There's a reckoning day. That's the prophecy. But folks, listen. When you and I said yes to Jesus Christ, the reckoning day that I'm talking about for those who don't know Christ has no effect on you. It was a Christmas gift. The prophecies. All the prophets proclaim He will come. And He upon Him will rest all the sins of the world. All of them. All those who lived then, all those who lived in the past, all those yet to come. Those of the Old Testament believed in the blood of the Christ to come. When Christ came, what we call the New Testament, they believed that Jesus had come. The Christ. Those of us now who are Christians, we know that He's coming again. But you see, I don't want people to be caught off guard. I do not want my enemies or those that are in the enemy of God not to hear the word. The most powerful friend you'll ever receive is that friend who once was your enemy. But the prophets have spoken. Yet our generation, you and I are witnessing a whole generation of professing Christians backing away from worshiping Christ. Giving up. Look, it's just the way it is. I don't need to get married. That's just the way it is. I can have all sorts of children out of wedlock. Yes, you can. But it's not of God. Well, you saying God won't bless my child? Your child's guaranteed to be blessed. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the will of God. When you allow your children to go out and do anything they want to, that is not in the will of God. When the parents go off a-whoring into the world and doing anything they want to do, that's not in the will of God. There's two wills of God. in prophecy. Listen well to them. The first will of God is His perfect will. The other will of God is His permissive will. You and I do not live in the perfect will of God. We are living in the permissive will of God. That deals with grace. Woo, and you praise God, you got it. And don't you ever let somebody tell me you've fallen from grace. You didn't deserve it any more than I did to begin with. How are you going to fall from something God has given you that you didn't earn? It's a gift. So God watches over us through grace. And then He says, I will build your faith. My faith in God, my faith about the truth of who Christ is within my heart. Folks, we need to hear this and hear it well. It is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the one who speaks. He's the one that touches lives. I am to proclaim His word. And when His word stops, I've got to stop. I can't make new guidelines. God said there's one guideline. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The world said that's too simple. Well, if it's so simple, how come you haven't done it? There's nothing simple in listening to Christ. That's a spiritual touch. There's nothing simple about the spiritual touch of God. Sometimes, though, our minds are so simple, we will not accept God's word and God's truth because we want to do something different from what He's called us to do. So where are the prophets of our day? Are the prophets proclaiming the truth or not? Let me read Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 for you. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. Are you ready? I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Pay attention to that scripture. The first part of that scripture focuses on the prophecy of old. But the second part of that scripture focuses on Christ coming. No, not the first time. The second time. And He says, they will know me. For when I come, I will reveal myself to all. Whosoever has called upon the name of the Lord will be saved. See, you and I have to take the prophecy serious because the world doesn't. We're called by God as Christians, to stand strong for Christ, not anything else. I must chuckle when I'm hearing people say, well, We've got to get rid of Santa Claus now because he's Christian. And we don't want to be doing anything with jingle bells now because that's Christmas. That's not the danger. The danger you will find in the book of Revelation when Jesus tells John the Revelator, you tell the seven churches of Asia Minor, tell them this. And in that picture and in that story of the seven churches of Asia Minor, there's one picture that you all have seen. I saw it at Etna Grove for years. I've seen it time and time again. It's where Jesus, he's not mussed up or anything. You know, it's just Jesus standing at a door and knocking. Remember? Read the scripture. That does not deal with salvation, although that's great. Jesus is knocking and he is. It dealt with Christ in the book of Revelation saying to the church, I'm knocking. Let me back in. Let me back in. The church has closed its doors and put Christ outside of them. And Jesus is knocking. He's knocking at the door of the house that is called by his name. Oh, he remembered the temple that was called by the name of his Father. And he said, you become a den of thieves, stealing the truth from my children. But you know what the sad part was? The church, nobody in it was going to the door to open it. 7,000 churches annually closing their doors. Do you really believe that the doors would close if they let Jesus come back in? Listen to me, folks. You and I, when we said yes to Jesus, we're heaven bound. Am I at peace? No. No, I'm not. Some days, folks, I wake up so depressed, it's hard to get up. Some days I hurt so bad at night because of the brokenness of so many people. You see, it's real to me. It's not a story. It's the voice of God. But you and I have a ministry to follow. As I told you, I have no idea how much longer I will be in a pulpit, this one or any other. I don't know at what point God will shut me up and take me home. I'm excited about that day and going, but am I at peace? No. Because there's people that don't know Jesus yet. There's churches that are refusing to open the lower door and allow him to come back in. We cannot praise the name of Jesus with our tongue and allow our human existence to overshadow such great love. It is not of God, and it's the voice of God. You see, I count every day as a blessing. I count every second as a gift. And I count every pain and every physical depression as a wake-up call. For you see, my fear is not of death and where I'm going. My fear and my hurt is that there are going to be many that I will have met and loved that would not listen to the voice of God as they did not listen to the prophets of old who pinpointed the time and the star to follow. Only a handful paid any attention. No. I want to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there will be no foreign religious group that will stop me from that. That's not what I ever thought that they would do. You know what stops it? God says judgment. And listen to this, teachers, preachers to be, and Christians. God said that judgment will begin at his house. And if it began at the house of the Lord, what chance does the lost have? Listen to him knock, folks. For prophecy is being fulfilled as it always has. When Jesus died for me, and I said yes to him, the scripture teaches me that I am to count that as I'm already there in heaven. You got that? When I said yes to Jesus, he said, count it, you're already here. And sometimes we get excited, Lord, I'd appreciate you coming on. I know I'm already there, but, you know, the old body can only take so much, and the mind just isn't worth a dime. But you know something? God says, I got a job for you to do. See, I don't have a right to cut God short. I don't have a right to quit God. I walked out of a church one time, broken. I walked away from that church because I was being confronted about the gospel and being told not to preach certain things. God did not tell me to leave it. And I said that day. I am not following God's call. I'm just tired of you. About what I said. That was not from God. As I said that. When I walked out of that church, and remember this about my testimony. From the first sermon that I ever preached when God called me to preach, it was very few Sundays or weeks or any that I didn't preach. From that day forward, I preached and preached, was asked to be in different churches, revivals. I walked out of that church because of it. It was my great sin. For 1 year, 1 year, God stood me in a corner. I got no calls, no opportunities to preach his word, thinking that, Lord, I'm sorry, but it's obvious you're done with me. Then I got a call, 1994, from Vine Grove Baptist Church for me to come as interim. I came, and in 95, that January, I became pastor. My promise was this: it ain't happening to me again. People, I have been stood in a corner by God because of my rebellious nature, that I didn't need all that stuff. Jesus didn't need it all either, but he took it, didn't he? He took it so you and I could be with him. Therefore, all hell can't move me. Only God can say, come on home. And you all won't have to worry about it. You'll hear me shouting. It's got to be somewhere. But folks, until that time, you and I need to make that covenant, a promise to each other, that we will take care of God's house of worship. Is it the last stand? Don't know when God's coming. I can tell you this, he does, and man won't call him any sooner, nor will we keep him any later. Let's pray. Father, we lift our hearts to you, Lord, because of the brokenness, Father, of your prophets of the day, the brokenness of your family, as we commit ourselves, Father, and recognize that we, each one, are a part of your family. Touch us. Forgive us where we've fallen short. Oh, Father, please give us the courage to open the door and let your Son back in. Throughout this nation, the morals are collapsing. You're looking at us in this day as you looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. And we beg, Father, touch another heart before you call us home. Help us to be the ministers of love you've called us to be, but of truth that you expect from us. In Jesus' name, amen.